Amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, team. Last week we finished up 2 Peter. As a pastor, you're always seeking God's direction on what to be teaching, where to go. I think He has shown me the next book of the Bible we're going to be going to. But we're going to do a small little series as a transition. So as Team Jesus, taking up our cross this year, God has put that message on us. And this year, we're going to try to carry that cross better than every other year before and really stand for Christ as much as we can. Society is collapsing. There's no doubt. You know, when you watch the news and hear all the things that are going on, there is a need for us to stand up. Peter asked us at the end of 2 Peter, what kind of people will you be? Will you be people of God? Will you pick up your cross? Will you stand for truth? Will you warn people what is coming? And so that is where we want to focus and stay focused. And so I have a small little series I want to do for the next maybe 4 weeks. It's called Truth in a Truth-Denying World. Very interesting to listen to people. I mean, I'm shocked sometimes at the things I hear people say in interviews or on the news, how people are thinking nowadays. Am I the only one, or do you think there's a lot of people thinking a lot of crazy things out there today? All right, so I'm not the only one. The rejection of reality is overwhelming to me. Reality, what is real? Not fantasy, not la-la land, but reality. The denial of truth is insane today. Pontius Pilate famously asked a question. What was that question? What is truth? Very interesting question, but actually, when he asked the question, it wasn't a question. He didn't ask Jesus this question. You're like, wait a minute, it's in the Bible. I know. He didn't ask Jesus the question. I'll get to that here in a second. But the last couple of weeks, coming to the end of 2 Peter and starting to ask God, you know, as God revealed, to pick up our cross, that'll be our theme this year. And I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, a lot of people I respect, and I was listening to a podcast a couple of weeks back, and a person being interviewed was Alyssa Childers, and I listened to it, and I was really impressed with what I heard, and I have this book, her book right here. And the good way to get a book, you know, without having to pay for it, is to tell Gordon, hey, Gordon, it's a good book, you should get it. So Gordon ordered the book, and here I got it in my hands. Thanks, Gordon. Gordon didn't really care for this book, and I understand as I started to read it. It's written, I think, more for women with a women's perspective, but it gave me great insight, some insights to my wife. I mean, as I was reading this and I got, you know, about halfway through, I had to stop and I had to call my wife and I said, I just, you know, and this is not trying to say how great a husband I am, the rest of you guys are bums, but I just called and I said, I want to thank you. I just admire this. It gave me some insight to my wife that I, as a Christian woman, that I never really realized. It's been really good. And in this interview that I heard with her on Cross-Examine, she was talking about what's going on today, why society is collapsing, why people are living in alternate realities. And I want to share what she said in that podcast today. And so we're going to get to that here in a little bit. But it's been interesting that I heard that, and then I got a book. Gordon was gracious enough to get it for me. And then my wife got me this book without me even asking her. Letter to the American Church. Really, really good. We're going to be doing that on Sunday nights here in a couple of weeks when we're done with Pilgrim's Progress. And then the studies we're doing with the ladies and the men. This book. These are all pretty much on the same page, talking about the same issues, coming at it from different angles, And I've read these books in the last couple of weeks, and I'm just like, wow, I see what God is wanting us to understand, to learn, to understand, and to implement in our church and in our lives. What I have to say this morning is quite simple, but I pray, especially for the young people, even those sitting in the farthest back row of the balcony, that they listen. Because what I'm going to be talking about is going to make complete sense to us who are older. But it's after. What I'm talking about, the ideology I'm talking about this morning, is after the young people. It's to deceive them. It's an ideology that's going to work on what is already inside them and amplify it and deceive them. Your children, your grandchildren, this ideology is after. And right now, it's having great success in the world. So, in looking at the subject and what is truth, let's define truth for ourselves. Here's the basic definition of truth. Truth is a thought, a statement, or an opinion that lines up with reality. Okay? The sky is blue. So if I get up here and say, no, the sky is green, or I am whatever, pink. No, the sky is blue. That's the reality. I am a man. A human male. You out there who are not men are women. A human female adult. Truth is a thought, statement, or opinion that lines up with reality, the way life truly is. Truth is true for all people in all places and in all times. Truth never changes. Do you realize that? The truth we have today is the same truth they had at the beginning of this nation. It's the same truth they had in the first century. It's the same truth they had 2000 BC. Truth is truth. It never changes. Truth doesn't change no matter how much people believe their beliefs about it do. And a lot of people have their opinions that truth changes. It doesn't. For the next four Sundays, we're going to examine why our society is collapsing all around us. Here's what we're going to be looking at. The main problem, that's today. What's the main problem? We're going to focus on that today. The next week is the consequences because of that problem. Third week is going to be the solution to the problem, which is going to it's going to be different. You're not expecting this solution. Fourth week will be the plan. How this church, how we as individuals are going to implement the solution. Here's the main problem. There is no authority but yourself. Do you guys agree with that? The younger generations are. You see a lot of the younger generation, they're really anti-government, aren't they? They're really anti-capitalism, anti-U.S. government, anti-Western nation governments. Why? Because one of the aspects of our government, which they want to overthrow with replace with socialism and Marxism, key aspect of our government is freedom. liberty. And inside of liberty, you have the right to believe and to speak. And truth is central. And people don't want other people bringing the truth because they're going to have their own truths they want to believe in. So you see, you can't have a government that's over you that allows for real truth, freedom. So today, the younger generations are being taught, brainwashed, manipulated, coerced to come against all authority. Government, religion, church, especially Christianity, which is not a religion, it's a faith, it's a relationship. They really hate Christianity. Maybe it's because who we're founded on, Christ said, I am the truth. Boy, they don't like that, do they? Today, our society is undermining parents. How are they doing that? Well, there are schools that are teaching the children. When the children are there away from the parents, they're helping children change gender. They're renaming children at school without the parents ever being involved or even knowing. A lot of in the school system, and there's good people in the school system, so don't get offended, but a lot in the school system are not. They have agendas. That's why they're there. And a lot of them believe, and some in our government believes, that the children belong to the state, to the government. So they should be able to take your kids and teach them whatever they want them to know. And parents are out. There's been school boards that have said parents have no right to be a part of their kids' education. Wow. Schools are undermining. Courts are undermining that children who are not confirmed and when they have gender confusion and other aspects and things they're dealing with, if the parents don't confirm what their child is feeling and believing, then the state will protect you from your parents. Do you know California passed a legislation that children who are misunderstood by their parents or their parents don't agree with the decisions they're making, come to California and we'll protect you from your parents. Parents are the first authority we have in our lives. That's where we learn about authority, about respect. If you're not going to respect the very first authority in your life, your parents, you're taught not to respect them. Are you going to have respect for the police officers? Are you going to have respect for local government, state government, federal government, let alone God? No. And this is what they're doing. They're dismantling all aspects of authority over the young people's lives so the young people are their own authority, or so they believe. Government, church, parents, the police, they're all being demonized as oppressors. An oppressor, that's evil. And those who are under them are the oppressed. So we should want them to be free. That's what a lot of the young people are thinking. Feeling. And they're being helped to feel this way. Today they're teaching that authority rests with the individual. You get to decide what is reality for yourself. Your own truth. Today, people base that reality, the younger generations, some of the older generations have fallen into this as well, base their reality on this, their feelings. Go to the next slide, Levi. Feelings are the authority. You yourself are your authority, and how you feel dictates what you're going to believe, what you're going to follow. It's been around a long time. How many of you have heard the old saying, just listen to your heart? How many of you guys heard that? If you haven't heard that, I don't know where you've been. It's been around for a long time, but there's been a shift in this. Before, you were just following your hearts, but you weren't undermining authority. You were just seeking what you want. But they've shifted. Now your feelings, your heart is your authority. It's the only thing you need to obey. So today we're going to be looking at these four aspects of the problem. The problem is we think we're our own authority. And feelings are guiding what we're going to be our authority and what we're going to believe. These are the four points that Alyssa Childers brought out. Feelings are the authority. Happiness is the goal. Judging is the ultimate sin. And God is the ultimate guest. Let's look at feelings are the authority. Next slide, Levi. To understand what they believe when they say what I feel is my truth is that truth is relative. That's what the younger generations are being taught today. Truth is relative. How I feel determines my truth. Feelings are the authority. Now, again, I've already said humanity has already learned to be about self. That's been humanity's problem since Cain and Abel. People looking to themselves, looking out for self. We call it being selfish. Humanity doesn't need to learn that lesson. We're born with it. But it's why the Bible teaches us something better. The Bible says to esteem others better than ourselves, to work against that sinful nature of selfishness. But today, not only are the kids being taught to look and care about self, but your authority is yourself. What you feel is your truth. That's why they reject any and all authority that says there is an absolute truth over everybody. To them, there is no absolute truth. Others believe no one can know the truth. Truth is relative. It changes depending on the time you live, the circumstances of your life, blah, blah, blah. Truth changes over time. Truth is different between individuals. So what is true for you is not necessarily true for me. I kind of like that one. What's true for me is that your wallet would be better in my pocket. It may not be true for you, but it's true for me. You know, when they say there is no absolute truth, and that's the core of this belief today, you'd be surprised how many of your children and grandchildren believe in this in some way. When people say there is no absolute truth, I always ask this question. You could do that. No, actually, Rich, I'll use that one first. I'll use that one. There is no such thing as absolute true. You can say what? Is that true? Because if that's true, it's an absolute truth. And so there's no absolute truth isn't true. Because you have the truth and nobody has the truth. And it's not absolute, so it's not true that there is no absolute truth. It's true. Because you have the truth that there's no absolute truth. Alright? So that kind of, we can kind of get lost in that one. Like, oh, that hurts. But here's when someone says there's no absolute truth. I say, okay. Not to be offensive, but I always ask in a nice way. Is rape always wrong? Yes, rape's always wrong. Then that's an absolute truth. You said there's no absolute truth. You just said there was one now. Rape. So if truth is relative and it's not absolute, then there is a time and a place and the circumstances are right that truth, rape is wrong, is not wrong. Is that true? See, they never really think it that deep. Rape is always wrong, no matter what. There's no excuse. There's no justification. So if rape is always wrong, there is absolute truth out there. And to say truth is relative is to say, well, there must be a time when rape is okay. You see, this whole understanding, I'm my own authority and what I feel is true, follow your heart. That's where your feelings are, right? But what does God actually tell us about the human heart? Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is true, folks. A lot of people say, well, I believe humans are more good than bad. Well, then you haven't known many humans. We don't like to hear this about ourselves. I think I'm a pretty good person. You're not. You're a liar, you're a thief, and probably many more things just like the rest of us. Humans are not born good. I can ask every parent in here who has a little baby or toddler, do you think they were born good? No, because they learn real quick to scream when they get angry, when they don't get what they want, screaming. When they start getting a little bigger, they learn that, hey, I want that. I'm going to take it. I'm selfish. It's mine. They learn how to steal, take other things. They learn to be selfish. They learn to lie without us ever even teaching them. Why? Because we're born with a corrupted heart, a soul. We're sinful. We're anti-God. The only cure for that is understanding your sinfulness, your wickedness, and come to Jesus Christ. But see, if you stay with the sinful heart, if you think your heart is your authority, your feelings are what is true, here's what you get. Here's the reality you get. Play.
Just in case you have any faith remaining in higher education in this country, we've got a video that may destroy it. It's from an event in 2019 at Western Washington University.
What about folks who have wombs but are not women, like trans people, genderqueer folks? Why do you keep saying women when this issue affects more than women?
Because there are two genders, male
there
and female.
This issue affects more than women. It affects trans men. It affects genderqueer folks.
Women have wombs.
I am not a woman and I have a womb.
You are a woman.
I am not a woman.
Next question.
Are those kids living in reality? And if you shake your head, you are so wrong. If you think that's reality and that's truly truth, you've already been deceived. And you need help. You know, I love that these agendas love to say, you guys are anti-science. And I love science. This book has more science in it than most people know. And this book knew science before scientists knew science. I love science. I hate false science. You know, the young lady in there said, I'm not a woman, but I have a womb. Let's use science and let's look at the chromosomes. Science will say she's female. Always will be female. Can never stop being female. No matter what she believes, how she feels, what operations they do to try to cover up the truth, truth is truth. She's female. But you saw how the kids reacted to the truth of reality. There are two genders, male and female, and you just can't stop being one because you feel that way. You see, when we feel something different than reality, that's is usually been called a mental disorder. If we have a young lady up here who is skin and bones, a living skeleton, because she feels, she perceives in her mind that she is overweight, that she is obese, and she's starving herself to death. Do we tell her, oh, we affirm what you believe, what you feel? Do we do that? No, because we know that if we identify with her reality, her truth, she's going to kill herself. So we say, no, you have a mental disorder, an eating disorder. Let us help you get back to reality. But over here today, when someone says, I feel like a boy, I'm a boy, or I'm a girl, that's what they perceive. Why is one a mental disorder and one is not? Here's what happens when we go with our feelings and we say we're our own authority. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man, the woman, who trusts in himself, in man, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. The Lord who says, I am the truth. I am the reality. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert. It shall not see when good comes, but it shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. How many of you guys ever driven across the salt flats? How would you like to live out there? How would you like to go picnic out there? It's a terrible place, isn't it? When you deny the truth of God and you want to live in your own reality, that's what you're choosing. For your soul to be parched, withered, and eventually die. But you could do this. Verse 7, blessed is the man, the woman, who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. If you're going to believe one thing about what God says, believe this. God says, those who forsake me, their heart is wicked. They want to go that way. They're going to end up like the salt flats, dried up, withered, dead. But if you trust in me, you'll be like a tree planted by the river. Feelings are the authority. Feelings, if not based in reality, are not true. Simply put, people would be screaming if I was saying that out in public somewhere. What are people's feelings based on? They're trying to say that this is my authority, this is what I'm going to live by. But what are they based on? They're based on happiness. That's the second part. Happiness is the goal. Now, most people in the world want to be happy. Do you want to be happy? I want to be happy. There's nothing wrong with being happy. There's a difference between happiness and joy, but it's okay to have both. Actually, they're quite connected in some ways. Most people in the world want to be happy. And this, but see, this is what, because they've rejected God as their authority and they're their own authority and their feelings are what is true, then it dictates to them that they can justify in themselves any activity, any conduct, any behavior, even if it goes against God's word, or even if it goes against the law, it doesn't matter. Because happiness is the goal. And whatever makes you happy, you should get to do. And no one should interfere. You're your own authority. Happiness is the goal. This is what I feel. You can't stop me. This is my reality. Even if it goes against God himself. Because see, many people assume God wants us to be happy, right? But is our personal happiness God's ultimate goal for us? Does God want us to be happy? What is happy? Let's define what is happy so we can answer the other questions. Happy, enjoying, showing, or marked by pleasure, satisfaction, or even joy. Can we say biblically that God wants his children to be happy? Yes. I'll show you here in a second. But happiness based on the human heart, on the sinful feelings people have, no. That's not going to lead to happiness in the end. It's going to lead to that salt flats that God said you would end up being to. But if you want to base your happiness on the truth of God, yeah. You see, sin can produce happiness. I've always told people, sin feels good. I've always told the teens that I've taught over the years, hey, I understand, sin feels good. You can be happy doing it. But there's a price to pay somewhere down the road. If it was immediate, then people go, oh yeah, that was great, but man, I got busted after that. But see, usually that doesn't happen. The punishment, the bad doesn't happen for a while. And so you just enjoy the sin. Sin can feel great. It can feel good. It can feel good to the mind, to the pride, the vanity, and definitely to the physical, the flesh. But in the end, it brings destruction to our lives, destruction to our souls and our heart. So sin can make us feel happy in the short term, but not in the long term. Going after our feelings, what pleases us, happiness being the goal, a dangerous route to take. Let me show you. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Here's from the wisest man who ever lived. If we're going to listen to one man, if you don't want to listen to me, fine. Pastor Heath, you're not smart. You don't understand. I can make that argument. Yep. But Solomon, here's what Solomon wrote. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. Solomon went on a lifelong journey to find meaning and purpose in this life without God. And you can read the whole book of Ecclesiastes. He went and did great building projects so he could have his name up there on a building or above a casino or a bank. He partied. Sexual immorality. Eating, drinking. Everything. He did not withhold one thing from himself. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor and everything I was doing. And this was my reward from all my labor. I felt good when I was doing it. But here was my reward. Here's where I ended up. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, all the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping the wind. There was no profit under the sun, meaning life here on the planet, under the sun, in this world. He went with his feelings. He went with his heart. And in the end, he said, it's all vanity. Chapter 2, verse 17 says this, therefore I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. For all is vanity and grasping the wind. Do you know where he is at this point? When he finally understood this, do you know where he is? He's in the salt flats. He's not near the river like a tree planted by the river. He's out in the salt flats. His soul is dried up. There is nothing. He had everything. and he's withering, dying out there in those salt flats. His soul is dead. Happiness based on the human heart. Happiness based on my feelings, what I believe. In the end, it will not satisfy. It might satisfy in the short term. It might feel good now. It might feel good for a while. But in the end, it's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy your children. It's going to destroy your grandchildren. You know, there is a happiness with God, but God kind of describes it a little different than happy. This is how God describes it. Psalms 1, blessed is the man. If you have some of the newer translations, really new translations, they actually say happy here. Happy is the man. But it's more than just happy. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, her delight, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he, she meditates day and night. He, she shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, just like Jeremiah was talking about. You want to be satisfied with life? You want to be happy? You want to be blessed? Then understand that the truth of God is absolute. And whether you want to believe in it or not, it's upon you, and you're accountable to it. And you will be held to God's reality, not your own. You see, when you take the path of God, the blessedness of being blessed, being happy, being content, satisfied, that's where you'll experience joy. Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You see, surrendering to the truth of God, not your feelings, you're not your authority, but you surrender to the true authority, to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord meaning owner, master. He created it all. He's the boss. You surrender to that. You acknowledge who He is and you acknowledge how sinful you are and that you need Him. Then you can actually experience joy. Joy is a cheerfulness, a calm delight, gladness, even when things may be going bad in your life. You see, happiness is only dependent if things are going your way. You're getting what you want and things are being good. Then you can be happy. But when things start going bad, you can't be happy, but you can still have a joy. You can still have a calm delight, a sense of security, a sense of well-being, that no matter what happens, all is well with your soul. Got to hurry up here. I'm running out of time. All right. So happiness is the goal. Judging is the ultimate sin today to people. So first, they're feeling that they're the authority. They're their own authority and their feelings dictate what they're going to believe and what's not. They're not going to believe. It's going to dictate their reality. And what this trip they're on, what they're feeling is they're seeking happiness. And you cannot judge them. So the major flaw here for our younger generations, and some of the older generations are falling for this as well, that you're your own authority, that your feelings will lead to your own truth, and your truth will lead to happiness. False, false, false. It is a house of cards. It is a great deception from the father of deception, of lies, Satan himself. And if anyone tries to point this out, if you try to point out this false deception that people are believing in, then you are viewed as the ultimate threat, danger to their happiness. You must understand this. They're going to view you as a threat, as a danger. And those are very precise words I'm using. It's the same way I would describe as someone, how you would feel about someone who is breaking into your house in the middle of the night. How would you react to that person? This is how people are going to start reacting when you come against their feelings. You're a threat, you're a danger to their happiness. That is why people today believe that judging is the ultimate sin or crime that you can commit against another. And their view of how you should be punished is on the rise. You can't judge me, they say. This house of cards that many people are living in today, this deception, as self as your own authority, it's so fragile. You can understand it's not really true. It's not true reality because they're so fragile in what they believe that you can't even judge them. First you can't judge them, and then on top of it, you have to agree with them. You have to endorse them. You have to celebrate with them their false reality. That kind of reveals how fragile their reality is. Because I have a reality. Now, it's based in absolute truth in God, but there's lots of people who mock me for that. It doesn't bother me. My reality doesn't change because other people don't agree with it. But see, you're such a danger because their reality is so fragile because it's not real. The only way their reality is real is if everyone else pretends and claps with them so they feel good in their reality. Ooh. Oh, thank you. So when you say, that's not true. A woman has a womb. You're female. No! They're terrified. If their truth was really true, if their reality was really reality, it wouldn't matter what others believed about it. But that is not what we see today. Any pushback on their truth is a threat to their happiness. I'm going to skip some of this stuff I have to say because I'm out of time. So it's amazing this way. Here's what I'll say. You can't judge them for their reality. You can't, and when I say judge, I mean just point out, hey, dude, you're not a male. You're not a female. Sorry. You can't judge that. You can't do that. But on the other hand, they can tell you you're wrong for feeling and believing what you believe. You can't do that with them. But they can do that with you. It's just reality on its head, turned up on its head. It's just crazy what people are thinking today. I can feel any way I want, believe whatever I want, and you can't judge me, but I can judge you for believing whatever you want and feel. Talk about hypocrisy. It's almost as bad as Antifa, anti-fascist. Who are the fascists? Antifa. Are the fascists? I'll probably get blocked off YouTube for that. It's truth. Fascists don't want you to open your mouth. Shut up. That's what Antifa's doing. Anti-fascists. They should go back to school and learn what fascism is about. That's the problem. Our schools are not educating our people anymore. They're indoctrinating them. And I'm looking back up there, those two young ladies up there. I'm looking at my son. I'm looking over at Kayla here. I'm looking at Stone, others, Sarah. You're not a kid anymore. You're out of school. But, you know, you're just... Kayla. They're indoctrinating our kids. And know what's so bad? They're the prime target for indoctrination. Know why? Because I bet if I ask Maddie up there, if I ask Kayla, and I ask Stone and Michaela, and they were being totally honest with me, they think they know more than all us adults. Right? They already got life figured out. Right? And we know it's true because guess what? We all thought the same thing when we were that age. Man, our parents are so dumb. I got life figured out. I know I'm smarter than my parents. So see, they're already in the mindset. They're perfect targets to be manipulated. And say, no, you're your own authority. You do what feels good to you. Happiness is the goal. That is a lie straight from the lips of Satan himself. All right. Oh, I'm running out of time. I'm going to go just a few minutes. I mean, it's not normal. I don't know what reality you people live in. My reality is I'm done every Sunday right on time. John 16. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say right that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Did he really ask Jesus a question? No. Why? And when he had said this, he went out again. He didn't wait around for the answer. It wasn't really a question. It was a statement put as a question. It was rhetorical to him. Why? One, because maybe he had his own truth, or maybe he thinks no one can know the truth. But one thing is, he didn't care to hear the answer. It wasn't a question. And see, that's the problem today. People don't want the truth. They want to wait around for the answer. And if you give them the answer, they put their hands over their heads and they go screaming and they run to their safe place. Why do you need a safe place from the truth? Maybe you should really look at your reality. If it's that fragile that another opinion sends you to a safe place, maybe your reality is not as true as you think it is. Problem today, people are driven by their feelings. They do not want to know the truth. Here, I'm going to finish up. Fourth, God is the ultimate guest. Today, it's okay to believe in God. It's okay to believe in God. Most people do. Atheists are not the majority. Most people believe in God or higher power, and that's okay. Just don't believe in a God, especially that God of the Bible. Don't believe in Him, but if you do believe in Him, believe in the new God of the Bible, the one that's all-loving, doesn't judge anyone, doesn't care about sin, and wants me to be happy. If you believe in that, you're okay. That's why NFL, when the NFL player got hit and had a heart attack, they had national prayer. You know the thing they took out of schools because it was so dangerous? Did you realize that they had national prayer on that stadium? And that was a good thing. He needed to be prayed for. And I believe the young man is a believer. But the hypocrisy, especially on ESPN. ESPN said, "Let's pray for him." ESPN is full of woke individuals. They're supporting every agenda that is anti-God. They are godless. But in times of crisis, it's okay to have a form of godliness. It's okay to believe in God. Just deny the power. It's hypocrisy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness." It's okay. You can have a form. You can believe in God. You can believe in the universe. You can believe in some higher power. Just not willing a God with absolutes. Not with a God who says, "Thou shalt not." Having a form of godliness, but not in its power. What's the power of God? What's the power of God? Well, I'll show you. Acts 1:8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." When you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit of God. Woo! Power! Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, besides being the third person of the Trinity, God Himself, John 16. "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. You see, this is what people are afraid of. This is what teenagers are afraid of. And this is what a lot of adults are afraid of. So that's why they won't come to a church who preaches the Word of God. Oh, they'll go to churches that have great bands and lasers and smoke and I'm entertaining you, and then I get up here and I tickle your ears and I tell you good things about yourself and I tell you how to be successful in this life and your best life now, and I don't tell you to repent of your sins, that you can believe in God and hold on to your sins and blah, blah, blah. That's why they flock to those kind of churches. But if you stand up here and you teach them that there's a truth, that they're held accountable to the Holy Spirit of God, the authority of God the Father, they don't want to listen. And they can be sitting in here and don't want to listen. But unfortunately, you can't stop your ears. You're going to hear the truth, whether you believe it or not, from in here to on YouTube, if it makes it to YouTube. I doubt it. I'll be surprised. I'll be happy. You see, 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says there's going to be people who are going to claim God, claim to be believers, but they're going to deny the power, the truth of who God really is. And they're going to have their own version of Christianity. So here's the main problem, folks. Team, come on up. We're almost done. Here's the main problem, folks. Feelings are the authority. People today are believing what they believe is true. And they're their own authority, so they don't need to listen to you. They need to listen to anybody else. Their feelings dictate to them what is true. This is being taught to your children and grandchildren through the media, through movies. Well, I'm going to give you some examples. We're going to look at the consequences next week. I'm going to rock your world with some of the consequences from this false ideology that is true, truly happening today. It's devastating people. It's destroying people. It's destroying teenagers. It's destroying families. It's destroying marriages. Feelings are the authority. Happiness is the goal. Judging is the ultimate sin. And God is the ultimate guess. You can believe in whatever you want to believe. Just don't believe in the God of the Bible. This is why the world is collapsing around us. People are looking to self. They're coming up with new realities, alternate realities that do not coincide with our reality, the true reality. This ideology is trying to corrupt your children. It's trying to corrupt your grandchildren. It is out to destroy your marriage. How many couples I've had in marriage counseling over the years, it's all about self. She doesn't do this for me. She's blah, blah, blah. And then she's over here. He doesn't do nothing. Ah! You guys ever esteem each other better than yourself? You're supposed to be in love. You're supposed to care more about the other than yourself. Destroying marriages, families, destroying churches, destroying people. People want to be happy more than they care about the truth. And if you live like that, you're going to end up in the salt flats. You're going to end up withered, dried out in the soul and the heart. Life will be squeezed out of you. You will not be happy in the end. Next week, we're going to look at the consequences of this deceptive ideology. But as we close today, I want to leave you with something good. Right here. Yes! I am the way, the truth, and the life. Can I get amen on that?
Amen.
Jesus said, Jesus is now, listen, these are the three things to take away, and then we're going to sing a song that supports what I'm about to say, and we'll go out of here. Whew, that was good. I know the truth. It's very sad. I want to help people. But man, Jesus, I'm on the firm foundation. Here's the first thing. Jesus is greater than any spirit in the world. His truth can overcome any false ideology. He can save people lost in darkness and deception. You can have great hope for your loved ones who are lost, who are being deceived. Keep praying for them and lovingly try to share the truth with them. Two, be thankful that Jesus has saved you. That's what you can be so happy about that every day, every week. Woo! Lord, thank you for saving me. I mean, I didn't deserve it. I deserve it more than rich, but Nah, that's a joke. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. That I'm not trapped in deception like so many in the world, because I used to be trapped in deception. Oh, I used to believe such lies as a sinner. Oh, I can't believe the things I believed back then, but now I'm not in deception. Be thankful He has given you eyes to see and ears to hear the truth, a renewed mind, and a heart filled with the Holy Spirit who gives us discernment. And finally, third, be thankful that God is with you each and every day, child of God. He is with you. He has promised to be with us. No matter what crazy world we're living in, no matter how the society is collapsing around us, doesn't matter how many people you're surrounded with who live in alternate realities, He is with you, and He has said He'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is with us. He's our firm foundation every day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask You to help us understand. I ask You to help every ear that heard this morning, every ear who might hear it on YouTube. The truth, this ideology of going by how we feel and that we're our own authority, that we're not accountable to any higher authority, how dangerous it is and how it's going to destroy people. Lord, I ask every heart that heard this morning, whether it's receptive to it or not, every ear, whether the ear really wanted to hear it or not, that, Lord, this will penetrate. And this will be like one of those thorns in our side that just keeps pricking at us and we can't escape the truth. That there is only one truth, and that is You. That there is absolute truth, and it is defined by You. And we can't change truth. We can't go with our feelings and make that reality, because many times our feelings are completely wrong and sinful. Lord, I ask You to help every heart to understand that, and that sin is going to slowly destroy them. But Lord, You came. You love them so much that You came to show them a better way. And they can turn from false ideologies. They can turn from deception and be saved and have their mind renewed and restored. And they can have peace. And they can have joy. And they can have hope in something that is real. And they can be like a tree planted by the river. Lord, I ask You to help us as believers to stand firm on You, to speak in a loving way, but no longer be on the sidelines being quiet, no longer on the sidelines kind of clapping because we don't want to be hated by the world. Better get on the bandwagon or not. But Lord, I ask You to help us to stand up and start speaking truth, even at whatever cost it may be. Lord, help us to be salt and light. Help us to show love. Because the most loving thing we can do is tell people they're headed in the wrong way. They need to turn around and they need to come to You. You came to save that which is lost. And what is lost doesn't come to You. It will remain lost forever. And we don't want that for people. That's not loving. So Lord, I ask You to help these truths to penetrate the hardest heart, the most corrupted, deceived mind. Ask Your truth to penetrate, to affect, to change. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Let's sing this last song because we need to go out of here with these understanding. Please stand. Amen, amen. You know, I kind of like this alternate reality stuff because I can say, hey, it's 12 o'clock in my reality. Thank you for your grace for letting me go over and you be patient. Someone go down to the nursery and to Wendy and apologize for me. It'll be safer for you guys to apologize on my behalf than me doing it. Who volunteers to do that? Wow, I was like, damn, I got a couple. Thank you. Blame it on Gordon or something. All right. Hey, Team Jesus, let's go out and play our best this week. Let's go. We have a captain. He's good. He died for us. He's leading us. He's with us. Let's go out on that playing field of the world, our mission field. We're to be salt and light in a world that is dark, society that is collapsing. People are being deceived. We have the truth. Let's take it to them. Let's take it to them. On the count of three, let's break out of here. One, two, three, break. Let's go.